I was with you. I'd like you to flip to Jonah chapter 4, although we will read one verse before that. Ironically enough, I am not flipped to that one myself, so there you go. All right, so if you have your Bibles, just read with me. I'm going to start from actually chapter 3, verse 10, and then I'll read through chapter 4. When God saw what they did, the Ninevites, and how they turned from their evil way, God relented of the disaster that he had said he would do to them, and he did not do it. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was angry. And he prayed to the Lord and said, O Lord, is not this what I said when I was yet in my own country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarshish, for I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and relenting from disaster. Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And the Lord said, Do you do well to be angry? Jonah went out of the city and sat to the east of the city and made a booth for himself there. He sat under it in the shade till he should see what would become of the city. Now the Lord God appointed a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be a shade over his head to save him from his discomfort. So Jonah was exceedingly glad because of the plant. But when dawn came up the next day, God appointed a worm that attacked the plant so that it withered. When the sun rose, God appointed a scorching east wind, and the sun beat down on the head of Jonah so that he was faint. And he asked that he might die, and he said, It is better for me to die than to live. But God said to Jonah, Do you do well to be angry with this plant? And he said, Yes, I do well to be angry, angry enough to die. And the Lord said, You pity the plant for which you did not labor, nor did you make it grow, which came into the night and perished in a night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? This is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here, and we thank you for this little chapter in the book of Jonah and how it shows who you are. But Lord, sometimes that is not enough, and that you have called for something more. And I just pray that as we study your word here, that that would be revealed to us today. I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. So today is February the 12th, which means February the 14th is in 2 days. So guys, I'm going to give you a little tutorial on how to get a date for Valentine's Day. All right, so I got some 4 simple steps for you. Step 1, if you see a person you're interested in, go up to them and talk to them. Step 2, after you've done that and you've initiated the conversation, you know, make a nice warm atmosphere. You know, smile. Give a nice warm 1.5 to 2 second handshake. Give them your name right away so they're not intimidated by a stranger. Step 3, ask some basic questions to find some kind of common interest between you that will carry the rest of this conversation. And step 4, after, you know, you've talked for a while and, you know, had a few laughs, ask her out. Now, if you're looking at me like I'm stupid for telling you something you probably already know, well, I have some news for you. 1, you'd actually be surprised how hard this is for a lot of people. When I was living in Langley, guys would walk up, they would come to my room, usually when I'm studying, because of course, they would come to me and go, Michael, teach me how to date. And I'm thinking, like, are you serious right now? This is actually a very hard struggle for people to be able to do what should be assumed to be very basic communication and talking to people. This is how you make friends. The second thing that I have news for you is that spiritual maturity is very much the same. In that while we can have a head knowledge and know the know-how of, you know, how to grow spiritually, sure, we can, you know, go to church continuously, you know, read all these theologians like Charles Spurgeon and Karl Barth and all those guys. And we can, of course, read scripture. But we can also still be far away from God, even if we did those things. Because the fact of the matter is, spiritual growth goes further and goes beyond just knowing God. Reading through and take the prophet Jonah. Now, if you read in verse 2, he clearly knows God's character. He knows that, you know, God is loving, he's merciful and gracious. He knows this in his head. So then this begs the question, why does it bother him that God does exactly what Jonah knows God is going to do? Why does that bother him? What we see here is a man blinded by his hatred, particularly toward the Ninevites. And to see God's plan to save the Ninevites, it angers him. So then in chapter 4, we kind of see how spiritually immature Jonah is. Now, if you guys have heard me do enough sermons, you know that I like to pick the bad examples of how to do things. So, you know, Jonah is another clear example of what not to do. Jonah cries for God to end his life in verse 3. After seeing God spare the Ninevites. And again, he asks this in verse 8 and 9, when God takes away a plant that was providing shade for him. If you really think about it, Jonah's behavior is really not that different from, say, a child who threatens to run away from home because you didn't, you know, get them the newest iPhone or whatever. Oh, I didn't get this, so I'm going to run away from home. Of course, on the outlook, it looks really silly. Like, you know the kid isn't going to stand longer than 5 minutes on his own. But in the same way, when we rebel against God, aren't we behaving in such a manner? We rebel against God because he acts in his nature, which doesn't exactly conform to the way that we think God should behave. Well, God should, you know, always provide for me financially. God should always be at the helm of fixing all my relationships. A popular one you might hear is, you know, if God is so loving, then why is there hell? That's a very popular example of people trying to judge God and say, no, God should go by my standards as opposed to who God is and behave in, you know, within the parameters of his personality. The reason why we would want God to behave how we define things like love and mercy is because that spiritual growth goes beyond knowing the facts of God, but rather to see God's passion within who he is. Now, we read in verse 9 to 11, and God kind of starts this discourse with Jonah. And God kind of points out that, you know, you're acting very immaturely. Why does my nature bother you that I spare the Ninevites? Even though you well know that that's what I was going to do. It's basically what God is asking him. And one thing that reading the book of Jonah is always, it's bothered a lot of people. You can read like biblical commentaries and, I mean, you ask anyone who's read through this. And something that's always kind of weird about the book of Jonah is that it kind of ends in this open-ended kind of wolf fashion, right? And I'll read it again. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right hand from their left, and also much cattle? And then it just ends there. My theory of why this is the case is that perhaps God was going to reteach Jonah things that he already knew, and that the writer was like, the audience doesn't really need to know this. They kind of already know this. It's not that important to add on, you know, to keep writing about something that, you know, we've probably already told the audience, or the audience can just refer to earlier books in Scripture. But spiritual growth is much like this. I have this saying. I don't know if I'm the original sayer of this, but I like to think I am. And it's that the most important lessons in life are the ones you will have to learn multiple times. And this is very true when we think about spiritual growth. And of course, how we evaluate our relationship with God. You know, you can read the Bible cover to cover over and over again and yet barely begin to scratch the surface of understanding everything God is saying, assuming that was possible. Jonah's frustration with God comes from his spiritual immaturity, which is birthed from sinful rebellion. I mean, I don't have to go too much in like the New Testament and the Beatitudes, but you know, when Jesus says, "You have heard that, you know, to commit murder is sin. You know, do not murder. But those who, you know, have that anger and wish it upon a brother has committed it in their hearts." And it's safe to say that this was kind of happening with Jonah, right? I mean, it's not like he literally was going to go down and slaughter them, but he had wished that in his heart. And that was birthed from a sinful rebellion of him wanting to dictate, or him believing he knew how God should behave, right? These Ninevites are so bad. Of course they should die. Like, that's not even a question. That's what Jonah was thinking. And in his heart, he had allowed sin to creep in. And that's what divided what he knew, you know, that he knows that God is loving, that God is merciful, and yet being angry with the reality that God is loving and God is merciful. But in a lot of ways, we are not really different from Jonah in that we tend to allow sinful rebellion to hinder our spiritual growth. And instead of letting God be, you know, our father, we whine like young children telling our father how to be a parent. Which would be kind of, it'd be kind of funny to see, you know, like a little kid trying to tell a parent, this is how you parent. And the parent would be like, please, like, you don't know what you're talking about, right? You're just, what are you, like five, right? And of course, you know, one of those things that I enjoy when I'm, you know, looking at Facebook is those little, like, funny articles of, like, parents who try to outsmart their parents, and then the parent, like, has the best comeback ever that, like, totally shuts the kid down. I could send a link if you guys want it that badly, but I really enjoy those. Because it just shows this rebellious nature that we, as children of God, have. Yes, that is undeniable that we are children of God, but sin blocks and hinders the relationship that we ought to have with our Father. And with Jonah, it's really not that different. He allowed sin to block his knowledge and accepting the reality of who God is. Spiritual growth goes beyond knowing God, but rather it's orienting our lives to God's desires. In particular, here we read in Jonah that God wants to bring, he wants to save people. That's in his nature. God wants to save his children. God says that you know, these people are so confused. Of course they're, you know, dead in their sins. They don't know their right hand from their left. Right? That's how confused they are. And God has compassion for that and showed pity for that. Because that's who God is. And so spiritual growth is not just knowing that's who God is, but aligning our lives to that. Of course, that sounds a lot easier on paper than it does in reality. I mean, like, it would be kind of contradictory if I just told you that and that was it, right? Because then I would just be giving you more know-how. But unless that means of which the knowledge and the reality of God are bridged, then, you know, anything I say up here is just more head knowledge. It's just more for you to know. But that's where Jesus comes in. Now Jesus comes in and he's like, hey guys, of course I have things to teach you. I have things to preach about. Of course Jesus does that. He does a lot of that. But we see in his prayer life, and last year I did this with, you know, in the book of John. We see in Jesus' prayer life, and as we read through the accounts and the writers give us a little insight into what Jesus is thinking at times. You know, when Jesus had compassion for people that came to him for help, that Jesus shows that reality of God, that God is loving, God is merciful. Jesus is the very embodiment of that. And so in his death and resurrection, that the character of God is not just something we would know about, but something that we can experience in real life. Of course, God's desire to bring all people unto himself, that goes beyond just us here. As we grow more and more in line with God's desires as we seek Christ, and as we, you know, understand the scriptures and so on, we will desire to see others saved by the gospel and drawn closer to the Father, just like how we were drawn closer to God in Christ. Spiritual maturity also comes in the form of helping our brothers and sisters in Christ as we all strive to align ourselves with God's desires and God's design. As we live obediently to Christ, then hopefully through our example, others will see that spiritual growth is more than just something you know, but that spiritual growth is a passion that reflects God's passion for each and every one of us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for